Steve Carroll, what's the difference between Aussie estate agents and British estate agents? Talk to me.
Absolutely. Well, look, I mean, obviously, as you can pick up from my accent, I'm English and moved to Australia to, 12 years ago to work for News Corp, and News Corp owns 63% of REA, which is the parent company of realestate.com.au. And it's really interesting because I've just sold our family property only 2 or 3 weeks ago in Rutland. And there is without question a big difference in a style and approach between selling real estate in Australia and the UK. Many, many differences. I'll just highlight a couple. So one of the big ones is individual agents in Australia are encouraged to invest in themselves, to spend money on themselves, to build their brand, to train, to become more knowledgeable, to use social media, to, I suppose, build a personal brand so they're recognised. So it's not unusual to see individual agents who might work for a franchise group like Rate Wide to be on a huge billboard at a roundabout or on the back of a bus stop or taking out personalised advertisements on realestate.com.au. Here in the UK, it strikes me that it's about the office rather than the individual. Yeah, so that's kind of one huge difference. The second difference I noticed is if I decide to sell a house in Australia, then the agent who comes in, who sits with me and discusses my marketing and discusses the price of the property, is the agent that holds your hand throughout the whole process. They're the one who will ring you 2 or 3 times a week and give you an update on how the marketing's working.
Because you said to me when you sold your house in Rutland, you met the boss man first time, but then you're almost passed down the chain to his underlings.
Well, absolutely. And you kind of, and I didn't like that, to be honest with you, you know, because I never felt as though I built up a relationship with an individual. And certainly, you know, one of the big things that I've noticed with working in real estate in Australia for the last 10 years or more is it's about building a relationship, the agent building a relationship with the seller. Yeah. And what the agent is trying to do is the agent is trying to do such a good job for the seller that the seller will recommend that agent to other people that might be selling their property at some point in time. And it's not unusual to hear agents say, well, I've sold 3 different properties for Christopher Watkins, yeah? 2 that belong to me that he sold to me over a 10-year period. He also sold my mum's house, yeah? And it's that kind of personal one-on-one which doesn't seem to be the case here in the UK.
Would it surprise you that only 12 or 14%, somewhere around that number, homeowners use the same agent that they bought through?
Well, in the UK, it doesn't surprise me at all. And I don't know what the figure is in Australia, but I would guess it's higher because there's a real focus on that one-to-one with a goal of repeat business.
You talked about self-development. I mean, my understanding is that there's the big conference called ARIC once a year. The tickets are over $1,000, which is £500-600 in English money. And I've been told that most of the people there who are staff have paid for their own ticket. But in the UK, you don't get staff even spending any money on their own self-development. It's unheard of.
Yeah. So there's a huge number of real estate coaches in Australia. So, I mean, you're familiar with Tom Panos, Josh Fegan, Lee Woodward, Michael Sheargold, Sherry Storer. There's plenty of them. Tanya Jones, there's plenty of them. And they are all doing very well, thank you. And they're all doing very well because it seems to be the norm that agents who want to go places will spend money on their own personal development. Now, that might be attending ARIC, which quite rightly is £600-700. It might be attending Digital Live, which is a digital program that I run. It might be having one-on-one sessions with Lee Woodward or Michael Sheargold.
Yeah? Even though they're an employee.
Even though they're an employee. Now, look, let's be honest with you. I'm sure that an employee would say to their principal, I'm going to do this. Will you go 50-50 with me, or will you go 60-40? I'm sure that happens, and I'm sure there is assistance. But believe me, individual agents in Australia have a real hunger to learn, and they will attend at their own expense.
Are most agents employed or self-employed?
Bit of both.
What roughly would you say,
I would
anecdotally?
so if you're part of a franchise group, and look, franchise groups in Australia would be around about 65%, then you would either be fully employed or semi-employed. Yeah, there's various different models. Yeah, and then obviously if you're not part of a franchise group, you're working for an independent. Yeah, and again, a similar makeup.
You see, in the UK, there's some new models coming on. I mean, when we say franchising, there's firms like Belvoir and Martin and Co., where you basically just buy the brand name and give them 10% of your turnover.
Yep.
But there's some new ones coming in, like Keller Williams,
Yep.
where basically you're a self-employed person
Yes.
and you get to keep 70, 80%. Do you have such models in Oz? What would you say to any Brits who want to potentially go self-employed but are a bit scared to make that jump?
Well, this is my view. I mean, obviously, my area of expertise is digital, social media. And I think if there's ever a time, Chris, to make that leap, it's now, because it's so much easier now to build a profile, a name for yourself because of social media. So if you think about 10 or 12 years ago, to build your own personal brand would be bloody expensive because you had newspapers and other outdoor type of advertising. But when you think about platforms like LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook, if you're really clever and you're smart and you're curious and inquisitive about how those platforms work, you can actually really build a personal brand for yourself. Now, what we're seeing in Australia, and we talked about this offline, we're seeing many, many agents putting a lot of energy and effort into building their own personal profile. Now, that isn't particularly in all cases going down well with the franchise groups or the principal, because you've got this kind of, it's not a battle, but you've got this battle, let's just use that word, between the office brand and the individual. And what you said here in the UK, 95% is office. I would say in Australia, 65%, 70% is the individual, 30% is the office brand. And the owners of those office brands are saying, well, we want to readdress the balance.
Maybe in the next video we could talk about that.
Yep.
Thank you.